Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited about our viewers and those that are connecting with us on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Sandestin, Florida, to Pascagoula, Mississippi. And we're just encouraged, of course, all of those that are listening on radio all across the nation and the world. Thank you as we're keeping this conversation light and, of course, focused on Israel. But we have so many things to be talking about today. Here in the studio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. He's producing. And Steve Kolaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Hello,
good
sir.
Day. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Doing good?
I'm doing good. A little bit of a delightful day.
Delightful day.
Delightful day.
Wow. Just started, I guess, but or been going on. But, yeah, delightful day. Very good. Sun's out.
It is, yes.
Yes, and it's been hot.
A little bit of humidity today.
It's what,
just
Florida and hot. What's going on?
I don't know. You just wake up, you breathe, and all of a sudden you're sweating. You're like, okay, all right, we are up and at 'em today.
I mean, you just walk out, and all of a sudden you start evaporating.
Yeah. Huh.
It's just not good. You know, I'm looking forward to cooler weather.
Oh, yeah.
I saw someone posted that on Facebook, and then instantly everyone from New Jersey and New York says, no, we don't want the fall. We don't want the winter. As many days of summer as we can handle. See, we're in Florida right now. We're baking, so we want some cool weather right about now.
Yeah.
We're ready. Absolutely ready. What we're going to be talking about today in the first program, don't forget that we have two programs back-to-back, but we're going to be talking about some developments regarding to ISIS or ISIL now, as they have changed their name. But we're going to be talking about some of the recent developments as the president addressed the nation regarding that they're still trying to formulate a strategy and a plan. And also, the Prime Minister, David Cameron of England, came out here shortly and basically came on out and laid it out, man. He said it's for what it is, that it's a radical ideology. There's jihadists. And they have raised their terror threat to, I believe, severe, and they're concerned about an attack. And of all people, you know, all of a sudden Saudi Arabia has been quiet. You don't hear them. You don't hear where are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I believe the prince tells and shares that the United States should protect itself. That they should be warned that maybe.
They're warning us.
They're warning us that there could be an attack on the United States, a terrorist attack, so that we may want to deal with ISIS. That's what the Saudi Arabia is. We may.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah, but you got to wonder, too, is it like, are they wanting us to do their dirty work? You know, are they wanting us to go after ISIS first? Because ISIS, you know, their crown jewel, as someone described it, would be to get Saudi Arabia. You know, they'll finish in Lebanon, and then go to Jordan, and then come on down and get Saudi Arabia. So it's like, get the Americans involved here. It's like, hey, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to unpack this a little bit more. We're also going to continue in this program the conversation that we had of not too long ago, dealing with a religious spirit and uncovering and overcoming this deceptive spirit, because it is deceptive if you don't know that you've been attacked by it, or it's, you know, infiltrated in your own life, and you're being, you know, used in that way. But if you're not reading the Word of God, which 80% of the church, according to George Barna, is not, only 19% are, then rest assured it's good to say that maybe we're not reading the letters in red, and we may and most probably are skipping those pages regarding the Pharisees, because certainly that can't be us, you know. That's those
gotta
guys.
Gotta be somebody else.
Those guys. So we're going to be talking about part two about that. You don't want to miss it. But before we do, Kevin Durant, NBA basketball player. In case you need a loan, Pat, just in case you need a loan, you may want to give him a call. Did you hear about the contract he just signed?
No, I didn't. Do tell.
See, we thought that he was the sports enthusiast, and I'm realizing that he is not.
He's not. Okay. He's not a sports enthusiast. He's a football enthusiast.
I'm a Saints enthusiast. Yeah. That's about it.
There you go.
And how can isn't that an oxymoron?
I don't have time for nothing else.
Isn't that an oxymoron? Enthused with the Saints? Anyhow, going back to
he went there.
Do you want to open that can?
Yeah.
Did he go there?
Do you want to open that can?
He did go there.
Okay.
See, Chris is even shaking.
He's got backup now.
Can we get him a mic, please? Can we get him a mic? Just get the man a mic.
Kevin Durant, NBA.
Durant?
See? So now he's an
NBA. Durant. This is what you brought on yourself now.
Okay. Come on and tell us about Durant.
I'm waiting on you.
You're
waiting on you.
Since you're waiting.
Okay.
He plays for the Oklahoma Thunders.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City.
Man, he's all over you today, man. See what you done.
What else you want to tell us about Kevin? Is there anything you want to tell us about?
I'm still waiting on you.
He's waiting.
I just don't want the listeners and the viewers to get confused on who and what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. He's keeping us straight.
Durant, Oklahoma.
But you don't know.
This is basketball, right?
But you don't know, right? Okay. He doesn't know much.
I'm enjoying this.
He's a Saint.
I love it over here. I'm just watching this. This is beautiful.
He just signed another deal with Nike, Under Armour. They wanted to give him a contract to do, I guess, what is it, Pat? Promotions? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know. What's he doing?
We're waiting intently here.
Well, you know, they signed these superstars, basketball superstars, and a lot of athletes, they signed these endorsement deals that basically gives them these huge checks so that they can wear some sort of, you know, paraphernalia, whether it's a T-shirt or sneakers or what have you. But, man, he signed a $265 to $285 million deal.
What?
With
for how long?
Nike. I forget how long it is. Oh, it's a 10-year deal.
More he makes playing
this
basketball.
He's not even playing basketball. This is just learned a brand.
It's
wow.
funny you say that. That's amazing. In the next 2 years, he'll be making more money, $41 million than he does from playing basketball. Yeah, and just in endorsements alone. Because Under Armour was the contract was up, and Under Armour was trying to make a run for him. And they were throwing up some big numbers there, too. A couple $100 million for endorsing a pair of sneakers.
Wow.
And Nike had something in their contract, because he was with Nike first, saying that they could match or beat anyone. So they would entertain all offers. Go ahead, you can whatever, but we get the last right. And, of course, Nike was like, oh, we'll pay it. And you wonder, really? I mean, why does Nike do that? Because you're making money. They made $175 million off of those sneakers.
Wow.
How many pairs of sneakers do you need? I mean, you only have, you know, my goodness. But anyhow, Kevin Durant, if you need, you know, a loan, Pat, because I know you don't know much about, you know, basketball.
No, not very much.
He does.
Now you do.
Thank you. I feel enlightened now.
Now I think he can be considered a sports enthusiast.
Now, we'll see. We'll see how the Saints do this year.
Maybe not.
Well, on to God's news behind the news and talking about what's happening with ISIS or ISIL, ISIL. You know, something that we have to just take some serious concern about. I mean, here you have this terrorist group that is the most funded, a well-funded terrorist group that's ever existed. It's being reported that their net worth now is $2 billion with a B.
Who?
Wow.
ISIS.
These terrorists?
ISIL. Yes. Yes. They have taken over the oil fields. They're selling their oil on the black market. They're getting ransom money. I mean, the reason when they took James Foley, they were asking his employer to pay $130 million. And some people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, no, they're getting millions of dollars from other countries in Europe when they were stealing and kidnapping their folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you have these guys that are well-funded. In fact, there is a video. We don't have it for you now, but maybe we may have that available for you on the Torch, where they're in Libya, Tripoli, jumping off of the balcony of an embassy, going swimming in the U.S. embassy that's no longer being occupied. They're swimming, diving off of it, and they're able to fund and recruit people now because they have all this money, and it's something that has to be dealt with. You know, they were and still are beheading Christians. They're beheading children. They're raping women. And it's horrific. And what's the big concern right now that many have been talking about, including Texas Governor Rick Perry, is that since our borders have been so porous, they haven't been protected, that now that ISIS could very well be in the United States. Not too long ago, we talked about Minnesota martyrs, and those are in Minnesota, young men that are leaving the United States mm-hmm. to go fight in Syria, to go fight in Iraq with ISIS, ISIL. They're there. Mm-hmm. They're there. And now the UK, one report was that they have about 500 people from the UK who have went over there to fight jihad. Mm-hmm. They are reporting about maybe 100 in the United States, and this number, you know, shifts all the time. But these guys have passports. They mm-hmm. can come back into these countries and, you know, mm-hmm. go ahead and do more jihad, and then we can have some attacks here. So there's a lot of discussion. I mean, the president said that he's still trying to formulate a strategy, still trying to formulate a plan. He's entertaining. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is saying, no, we got a plan and we're going to deal with this. But I think it's a little bit too late. I mean, right now, we did on VFN TV, we talked about how Britain is saying now that they have to teach their values in the school system mm-hmm. because there's so many Muslims and radical Muslims that they're trying to institute Sharia law, and they're trying to basically change Great Britain. They mm-hmm. they came over to change it, not to be a part of it. And it's so important because we want as many people, if you feel that, you know, the United States is a place for you and for your family and the best place for you to prosper and do well, then come on in. But you come to be an American, you don't come to change it. Mm-hmm. You know, interesting, I'm trying to remember who said this, but it was an article that came out recently in terms of, they were quoting one of a former Chinese chairman from China that was retiring back in 2003 or 2005. And basically, the interviewer asked him, what do you want for your country in China? And reportedly, this guy was leaving office says, I'd want it to be a Christian nation, to the surprise of, wow. you know, the interviewer. And he says, well, why? He says, well, we did a study for over 20 years. Where all of our, you know, top scholars were researching why America has been so prosperous. So we've studied your political system. We studied your economic system, capitalism, mm-hmm. and we just studied all these things. But we kept going back to it was the fact that your country has founded on Christian principles. That's what was the distinguishing thing that made it so awesome and so imagine prosperous. That. And he says that's what they came up with in their research. And he says, we need that in China.
It's amazing wow. how China's recognizing that. And we're just so blind to recognize it ourselves.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay for you to come to the United States. Don't try to change it. Mm-hmm. But when we get back from this break, we're going to hear from Prime Minister Cameron. We're going to hear about others, Stackelbeck, and how we're discussing the real threat that exists here today and how ISIL must be dealt with. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can employees have religious items displayed in their work area? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I work at a facility and they do not allow me to put up religious emblems or religious saints in my cubicle where I work. And I was just wondering what the law was, whether or not they have the right to make me take these things down.
If they allow personal artifacts, personal posters, reports, these kind of things, artwork to be hung in a cubicle area, they should not say yours is inappropriate. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we will get some information to you and see if we can help you out on what is an important subject and one that has a great deal of confusion, but really the answer in the law is quite direct on this, so we'll get some help to you from our lawyers at the ACLJ.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
The day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place. This is so important because God showed me, he's telling me that America needs another Azusa Street. And there's a lot of key ingredients to Azusa Street. And the church is missing it right now, lots of it. But the one ultimate key ingredient before all the other ingredients came is the power of God. It's amazing what the fear of man will do. I really believe the greatest thing that's holding back the church today is the fear of man. They really don't like you anyway. Why do you even care what they think about you? You don't think about it. Everybody's trying to get along with everybody. Jesus said, be careful when everybody talks good about you, because this is how they treat people that are not of me. That's how they treat false prophets. And we're trying to go, you know, I might lose a few likes on my Facebook.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to go straight into this CBN segment as they discuss ISIL and basically the terror and the threat that exists right now. Listen, we don't need to be discouraged. We know that, listen, everything that is happening, God can let us know. God, Amos tells us that he tells his secrets to his friends.
Right.
He's going to let us know what we need to do so that we can be safe. We don't need to be fearful, but we do need to be informed so that we can take the necessary precautions and so that we can pray against this. Watch this.
Hello, I'm Mark Martin with this CBN News special, The ISIS Terror Threat. Today, Britain raised its terror threat level to severe, and Prime Minister David Cameron vowed to deal with homegrown Islamic terrorists. Meanwhile, the White House is not planning to raise the warning in the United States. Dale Hurd is in the newsroom with more. Dale, Cameron comes out with a strong speech against the terrorist group just a day after President Obama says the U.S. does not have a plan yet.
That's right, Mark. President Obama and Prime Minister Cameron are two of the most powerful leaders in the world, but appears they have two totally opposite views of this threat.
More gruesome video, courtesy of the Islamic State, the Muslim terrorist in Iraq and Syria. Some 150 captured Syrian soldiers, stripped to their underwear, being marched across the desert to their deaths. Another mass execution. It was just last week that ISIS showed the beheading of American journalist James Foley. The executioner in that video is believed to be a British national. In London today, authorities raised the terror level in the UK from substantial to severe.
But what we're facing in Iraq now with ISIL is a greater and deeper threat to our security than we have known before.
Prime Minister David Cameron pledged to increase Britain's security, describing the extremist threat posed by the Islamic State as more dangerous than Al-Qaeda.
We will respond calmly and with purpose, and we'll do so driven by the evidence and the importance of maintaining the liberty that is the hallmark of the society that we defend. But we have to listen carefully to the security and intelligence officers who do so much every day to keep us safe.
Cameron's strong statement contrasted sharply with President Obama's admission in a press conference Thursday that he didn't have a plan.
The suggestion seems to have been that, you know, we're about to go full scale on an elaborate strategy for defeating ISIL. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet.
The president downplayed the prospect of any imminent U.S. airstrikes in Syria. But while Mr. Obama tries to decide what to do, the terrorists of the Islamic State are not sitting still. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says authorities don't expect to raise the threat level in the U.S. He also says the U.S. is monitoring the threat of foreigners fighting alongside militants in Iraq and Syria who could travel back to their home countries. Mark.
Dale's going to stay with us now. He is among a CBN News panel of experts who've covered events in these various parts of the world. Dale has reported from Europe on various topics, including the overall growing threat of terrorism there. We also have Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News reporter, terrorism analyst, and host of The Watchmen. Eric covers terrorism and homeland security extensively for CBN News. And George Thomas is a senior reporter with CBN who has traveled to many hotspots in the Middle East and elsewhere. George, let's continue the conversation with you. We heard Cameron's speech. Give us your thought on what he said versus what our president is saying.
Yeah, clearly, as Dale has mentioned in his package, you get two different views from the White House and from 10 Downing Street. Clearly, what Cameron is saying, he is the line that caught me, he said that Islam, there's this poisonous ideology of Islamic extremism that is pervasive amongst the Muslim community at large. And clearly, Great Britain is very, very concerned. Why? Because the numbers say that close to 500 British passport holders are today fighting alongside ISIS in Syria as well as in Iraq. And so the big concern, not just for U.S. intelligence, Western intelligence, but also for Great Britain, is that these guys battle, you know, they've got the battle techniques down. They know how to conduct guerrilla warfare. They know how to produce and build bombs that they could eventually come back to Great Britain, be able to travel across Europe because of their passport and create havoc. And this is the big concern. And no wonder he came out with such a strong speech today.
Yeah, very disturbing information. Let's go now to Eric Stackelbeck in our D.C. Bureau. Eric, what is the message the president is sending here? I mean, why should all Americans, Democrat, Republican, Independent alike, be concerned?
I think President Obama is sending a frightening message, Mark, quite frankly, to say, look, in the wake of ISIS seizing Fallujah and Anbar province in Iraq back in January, and in the wake of ISIS seizing Mosul, Iraq's second largest city in June, for President Obama to come out and say he does not have a strategy yet is astounding, astounding and frightening that our commander-in-chief does not have a strategy to tackle this imminent ISIS threat, Mark, as George just said. Thousands of Westerners, a few hundred by some accounts, Americans, have traveled to the Middle East to join up with ISIS. And one day, if they don't get blown up there, they will return home. And they're not returning home just to blend back into society, Mark. They are being sent here by ISIS to form cells to strike in the West. To me, it was distressing that our leader does not have a strategy yet. And I can tell you that ISIS was watching that press conference as well. And their eyes were lighting up. They feel pretty good about themselves right now, Mark. They have a lot of momentum behind them. And number two, ISIS is the richest terrorist organization in history. They're making, by some accounts, at least $2 million a day through the illicit oil black market in the Middle East. And by some accounts, Mark, they're worth overall up to $2 billion. Right now, this is a jihadi runaway train, and we don't have a strategy to tackle it. That's astounding.
It really is. Let's talk a little bit more about homegrown jihad. Eric, many think the president isn't taking this threat by ISIS seriously. You've said that. You've written a book called The Terrorist Next Door. Should we here in America be concerned about ISIS and other terrorists on our soil? Talk a little bit more about that.
Mark, I'll give you a great example. Look no further than Minneapolis, the Twin Cities of all places, where, according to some reports, up to 12 residents of Minneapolis have traveled to Syria to join ISIS and other jihadi groups. We just saw two U.S. citizens killed in Syria this week fighting alongside ISIS. That tells you all you need to know. If hundreds of U.S. citizens are traveling to Syria, Iraq, as George said, to get that battlefield experience, new military techniques, and they come back here, they can turn the U.S. into a battleground. I've said many times, Mark, it doesn't take a brain surgeon or a genius to walk into a shopping mall, say the Mall of America in Minneapolis, largest shopping mall in the country, walk into that mall, open fire, yell Allahu Akbar, start firing, bring in some homemade bombs. God forbid, of course, but it's not that hard to do. So if you have these battle-tested ISIS jihadis with those U.S. passports returning to U.S. soil, and by the way, Mark, that porous southern border, it's almost an advertisement for ISIS to come here and to strike. That's my great concern. And for the president to say he doesn't have a strategy to deal with that, wow.
Well, let's go to our newsroom again where we check in with Dale Hurd. What do the British understand that we don't, Dale?
Well, they have a big problem on their hand. They've been playing footsie with Islamic radicals for decades now, and now they have a parallel culture of a radical Islamic community with Sharia councils, marriages to little girls, and a lot of violent rhetoric that's been allowed. And now we have perhaps 1,000 or more Britons fighting with ISIS in Iraq and Syria.
Well, we have some images of pro-ISIS propaganda being handed out on the streets of London. Dale, is there anything the British government can do about this?
Well, the police say they're going to look into it. Big deal. The point is that someone would feel they had the liberty to pass that out in Britain. Meanwhile, you better not say that Muslim radicals are dangerous, because then the police might come to your door. It seems the police care more about multiculturalism and political correctness and being sensitive to other cultures than they do about terrorism, and they're going to have to make an adjustment there.
How do you think the British people are responding? I mean, have they waited too late to save their nation from the influence of Islam and terrorists?
No, but the longer they wait, the more drastic measures they're going to have to employ. Political correctness and multiculturalism is the luxury of a safe society. And when bombs start going off in the streets of London, suddenly that doesn't matter so much anymore.
Okay, I want to go now back to Eric and to George and ask you both to comment on this. What can the U.S. learn from Britain?
Well, Mark, I think from Great Britain, the U.S. can learn what not to do in the war against jihad, as Dale just outlined. Look, Britain, for the past 2-3 decades, has allowed this radical jihadist threat to fester in their country with insane, lax immigration policies where they are giving asylum to jihadists who are wanted for terrorism in their home countries. Not only that, Mark, in my reporting for CBN News on the ground in Britain, I covered how Islamic radicals who are calling for Sharia law in Great Britain are collecting welfare benefits from the British government. This is insane, and the number of mosques growing in Britain is far outpacing the number of churches being built there. Christianity is on the ropes in many ways in Great Britain. So I think the United States can learn what not to do. Britain has made a lot of mistakes right now over the past few decades. They're behind the eight ball right now. They have a problem that's really out of control. They have great intelligence services there for sure, but the problem is so broad in Britain. It's not just in London. It's even in the north of England. So I think if we're Americans, we're looking at our cousins across the pond and saying, wow, if we don't catch ourselves now, we will be where Britain is in 5 years, maybe even sooner.
All right, George, you've just returned.
Listen, we just listened to what's being reported about ISIS and ISIL. The truth is, we've said it, you know, if we said it once, we've said this many times. If you wait, you're going to be bait. You know, if you wait, it's going to be too late and you're going to be bait. And the real issue here is that we can't wait any longer. We have to secure our borders. We have to deal with this terrorist threat. And it's, listen, we've talked about this extensively, that the enemy on the inside could be of a way bigger threat than the enemy on the outside. And so we keep trying to focus on what's happening over there. The truth of the matter is we need to be concerned about what is happening right here in these United States of America, because they're here, and we need to pray that all these networks would be uncovered, that they would be totally dealt with, and they would be totally gone so that we can protect our nation. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. they were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy and their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to continue our conversation that we've had some time ago regarding a religious spirit, uncovering and overcoming this deceptive spirit, kind of maybe, I guess, a part two or something. But we're going to continue to discuss it because, you know, this is the fight against this is one of the battles that basically we're going to be facing and are facing in these last days. I mean, you're either going to be attacked by a religious spirit, or you may yourself have this spirit influencing in your own life, and you may not even know it. It's deceptive because it hides itself in the fact that it looks spiritual, has a form of godliness, but in reality, there is no power. There's no God in it. Mm-hmm. It's a form. It's tradition. It's trying to elevate traditions of man over Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the cross, and it's always focused on a method, you know, something you can do in your own strength as opposed to what God has already done. Mm-hmm. Big deal. When we're talking about how a third of the book of Matthew, 11, 12 chapters in a 28-chapter book, deals with or mentions or confronts the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I'm just thinking that maybe this is something that we're going to have to just deal with and confront and look at, because this is something that obviously Jesus spends a quite amount of time addressing. And think about it, if Jesus spends that much time, a third of the book of Matthew on it, probably it's something that we should pay attention to so that we can deal with it in our own lives and help others be set free. Jesus came to set us free from everything, even a religious spirit, but we have to first be able to identify it so that we can actually get it out and deal with it. You know, it is said, I think, in the Baker Dictionary that of the 98 times that the word Pharisee is in the New Testament, all but 10 of them are all in the Gospels. So, I mean, again, just further underscores that maybe this is something that we need to deal with in the church so that we can be free. But we're seeing this, you know, we say that the, you know, battle of the last days, this is one of the fronts we're going to be fighting, you know, in this spiritual war, if you will. Think about what's happening all around the world with all these false religions. I mean, a lot of that's just a spirit of religion manifesting itself, because it's all about methodology. It's all about having to do something in your own flesh to earn some sort of righteousness. And that is a right standing with God, well, whoever they think that God is. But we all know there's only one true God. Mm-hmm. And the only way as a believer that we can stand righteous before God is not anything that we've done, because the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. There's nothing that we can do. So when we say, you know, I ask the question as I've, you know, been evangelizing out and talking to people, and I'll say, you know, well, if you were to stand before God, what would you tell him why he should allow you into heaven? And believe me, out of the hundreds that I've spoken to, 90%, and I'm being generous, more like probably 95% will say, because I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And the deception in that is that, one, that you think that being good is actually an entrance into heaven. Mm-hmm. But secondly, the other deception is you think that you're good. You're saying you think that you're good. And we have that tendency to look at ourselves in a different light. But we look at others. You know, I'm good. Now, those people I don't know about, but I'm good. Because then they'll further qualify and say, I haven't killed anybody. I pay my taxes. I haven't robbed. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Again, distancing themselves and pointing and criticizing and judging others while they're elevating themselves. Self-righteousness. And so we talked about in our previous discussion about the religious spirit that it's rooted and founded in fear and pride. And I'm on a journey. I'm learning more about the spirit. You know, I'm learning more about seeing if there's anything in my life. And I've noticed, I said, wait, that's got to go. That's religious. Mm-hmm. That's got to go. I don't want any religion in my life. And hopefully you don't want any religion in your life either. We want relationship with Jesus. Nothing that's based and founded in the tree of knowledge, only what is founded in the tree of life. And, you know, fear has to do with, you know, being guilt stricken, always feeling like you have to make up for what you did when you've fallen into sin, this excessive sorrow and you know, woe is me, and oh, how could I pray now, and God, I keep struggling. And there's something about, we can't confuse being broken and feeling the conviction of God. Okay, that's one thing, but this is excessive thing that continues to linger into days and weeks, you know what I mean, where you feel then that you have to make some sort of sacrifice, if you will, some sort of, you know, I'll do this and I'll try to be a good person. And somehow at the end of your paying the penance, you know, you start to feel better about yourself. You start to feel like, well, I'm on the right track now, and I am doing what God's told me to do. Now that I've read the Bible 4 or 5 days in a row, and now that I haven't missed one service, or now that it's like this whole thing about earning a righteousness. Mm-hmm. When the truth of the matter is that once you were convicted of your sin, you confessed it to God, you asked God to forgive you, you started to repent, which means you turned away from the thing, you can actually believe, you can receive God's forgiveness right then and there. Right then and there, you're forgiven. Mm-hmm. You're forgiven. But because it's what Jesus did already on the cross. It's not what you and I, you know, are doing to make ourselves right. There's nothing you can do. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, that's something that I struggled with tremendously. Like, really? Do you know all the stuff that I did? You know, I
can't be that
just,
easy.
Just confess it and ask the Lord. Really? Mm-hmm. And it took a while. But that's what makes God's grace so amazing. You hear him say amazing. Yes, it's amazing because you know how bad I am. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I've done? Do you know? But God will forgive and he'll separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. And for that, we say, praise God, you know, and we can rest assured in that. That's why we fall so in love with him, because we realize that only God can forgive us like that. But the whole thing is that right standing, you know what I mean? So every time, you know, if you think in your mind that there's something that you can do to atone for your sin, most believers, if you ask them, they would give you the correct answer. Well, of course not. It's the blood of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that sometimes people do things to try to make up for their sins.
Right.
And that's an affront to God. It's a diss to God. Because imagine how God feels when he sees our pride disguised as guilt. Whenever we try to make sacrifices, quote unquote, in our lives to pay or make up for the sins we committed. I mean, just think about what God feels like, what he experiences. Like, really? When in actuality, Jesus already paid the only price that can be paid. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is kind of insulting, isn't it? This is kind of like, really? You know? And what we need to do is be able to say, recognize, no, God did it all. God did it all. The other thing we try to do is when we attempt to get God's approval by our sacrifices, we make ourselves wide open to this religious spirit, because we're not trusting in the blood of Jesus. We're trusting in our ability to, quote unquote, gain his favor, gain his approval. And we start going into this, you know, acceptance performance thing where if we tap dance long enough and hard enough and we do all the right things and dot all the right I's and cross all the right T's and you know, look religious at least, you know, then we'll get God's face to shine upon us. God is looking favorably, you know, upon me.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it before, and someone has said to me, you know, because I've walked through that same journey as well, because a lot of times when you first encounter it, it's like, there's got to be something I've got to do. It can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. I remember what somebody had once said to me was, imagine if somebody gives you a gift and it's just a free gift and they're just going to give it to you and you go off and you give all the reasons why you deserve that gift of all the things that you've done. Well, I did this, I did this, I did this, and that's why you gave me that gift. And it's just like, I'm not going to give you that gift. It's a free gift. That's the freedom of God's grace. That's the freedom of his forgiveness, is that he did it regardless of what you did or didn't do. And I love what you're saying before. It's just like we're trying to tap dance for God. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Jesus was sent, that Jesus said, I'm willing to go, is enough of it. That in itself displays that you were already accepted.
Yeah.
And that he was willing to die for you.
Yeah. This whole thing about self-righteousness is so rooted in pride. And you look at it, it's like, you know, I think so many times we try to weave the narrative between maybe even an American idea or concept with the word of God. And we get back to the, from back for the break, we're going to look at the other side. It's not only rooted in fear, but it's also rooted in pride, in overestimation of one's own self. And while at the same time diminishing the value of someone else's life. It is just awful. It's wicked. We got to deal with it. We got to confront it. It's ugly. But most of all, it's got to go. It's been defeated already by the Lord. We just got to get it out of our lives. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
What's up, man? How you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been doing good. You know, matter of fact, Chris, check this out.
Yes.
You know, I've been working on my office at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm knocking some walls down. I'm,
yeah.
Know, nailing some boards up, you know, kind of expanding it a little bit.
I saw Jonathan was helping you with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves tearing stuff up. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Gave him a sledgehammer. I said, all right, knock this wall down. And he was like, all right. He tore it to pieces. So, you know, I'm nailing some boards up, you know, and I just started reminiscing. You know, back in reminiscing, yeah. I was thinking back all the times that we used to, you know, all the times we did all those projects, mm-hmm. you know, with the church back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, as I'm nailing this board in, and, you know, there's a specific way you can nail a particular, you know, type of board in. It's called toe nailing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of nail it at a 45-degree angle when you can't really get to it from mm-hmm. the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm nailing this board in, I'm like, it just made me think of something. That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
You remember the time?
We can skip this.
When we were doing that project at the church, and mm-hmm. and this is the building I'm referring to. And, you know, John, he was real, you know, green back in those days. Yeah. Didn't know much about construction.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And we thought it would be really funny. We said, John, come here. You know, he was there to help. He had his little apron on. He had his little belt buckle. He had his little tape measure. He was like,
yeah. You hear this, Chris?
Yes.
What can I do? I said, John, I need some toenails. Could you go find me some toenails? Sure. So he takes off looking for these toenails. He was gone for hours, I think. And he finally comes back. He goes, I can't find the toenails. I just don't know what do they look like.
They think this is humorous, you see. In my naivety, you call taking advantage of someone that was there to help, to be a helper, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in the world? When I found out, when it was revealed to me that this was a scam, they lied to me. You know, I am not the handyman, you know, although I have grown in some wisdom
yes,
over the
you
years.
Have.
I have grown in my.
You
in
do
my...
know what a toenail is now. And it's not the things you clip off the end of your toes.
No. Got that, you know. But I used to say, you know, a hammer in someone else's hand is a tool, and in my hand, it's a weapon. And I probably got myself, you know what I mean? But me and tools are not really the best of friends. I have learned, though.
I've gotten
an education, but I wouldn't say I'm a master builder, Chris. I'm not on the level.
You're not a Bob builder, Bob Vila, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I need the website, the video, and a whole lot of prayer and some duct tape to fix it all.
Just put some mud on it.
Oh, yeah.
Mud fixes
everything.
That'll
fix everything.
Mud fixes everything.
Just slap some mud on it and keep going.
That's it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before we took the break, we were talking about how the religious spirit, this has got to go. It's not our friend. It's an enemy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a murder spirit, and this spirit manifests in so many different ways, and we can see how Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. This thing came out in so many which ways. I mean, it was just like, wow, look at this. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how it's rooted in fear, but it's also rooted in pride. And so it's like this pendulum swings. At one time, you know, a person who's attacked a religious spirit, they're suffering from, you know, they're not worthy enough. They're not, you know, how can God forgive them? And, you know, they have to do these sacrifices, if you will, to earn their own righteousness and gain God's approval. Well, that's pride too, by the way, mm-hmm. because it's all self-focused and not focused on God. It's always about them constantly, mm-hmm. you know, wallowing in the same thing over and over again. It's like, hello, Jesus forgave you. It's time to walk in the fullness and have a revelation of that so that you can become whole. You know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why in him, we have to be in him. But God has to reveal that to us. Otherwise, you know, all of this will end up in a false repentance, constantly, continually asking God to forgive us for the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. because whatever we behold, we're going to continue to do. So you keep looking at your sin nature, keep looking at this guilt stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep producing that in your life. You need to start seeing yourself in view of God's mercy, right? In view of what God did on the cross, in view of the blood of Jesus, that you are a new creation in Christ, and that of, you know, if anyone be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. This is what the Word of God tells us, right? But in the other side, when the pendulum swings back to pride, you know, the self-righteousness becomes an overestimation. It's amazing. At one point, it's, woe is me, I'm horrible. I'm dirt, right. I'm dirt, and 10,000 sacrifices, and maybe, just maybe, you know, I can go pray. Mm-hmm. That's what it does, that when you're dealing with the fear side, you become so guilty that instead of it causing you to run to the cross, you're running away from the cross. Instead of running to spend time with God, you're running away from God. And it comes to you, you know, gathering amongst the brethren and getting prayer and your brothers and sisters and God, you're being further and further drawn away because this thing is tormenting you. It's like, get free, because it's going to take you out. It's going to, you know, it's going to take you out. But the other side of this is pride, self-righteousness. And I want to talk about Matthew chapter 9 and the calling of Matthew, because it's really interesting what took place here. Matthew 9, verse 9, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Don't you love that? You know, a tax collector at that time was somebody that was not respected, not liked. Normally they were taking way more money. That's how they made their money, by collecting these taxes. But of course they would, you know, sweeten the deal there so they can get more money. And so this is who Jesus called, by the way, into the ministry. You would think that if Jesus is put a job description, you know, to take this gospel here to the ends of the world, he would have, in the natural, right? We would have put some sort of different qualifications for who we would think Jesus should be on his short list, right, to interview. But no, he goes to the tax collector. Come follow me. And so the guy does. And so while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, don't you love that? They're constantly looking. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you think about it, and you talk about what self-righteousness is, it's having or showing an exaggerated awareness of one's own virtuousness. I mean, they thought they were something. It's like, why does this great teacher here sit down with these tax collectors? Doesn't he know when the woman was wetting Jesus' feet, you know, the Pharisees looking, doesn't he know who she is? Why is he allowing her to touch his feet? You know, it's like, dude, who are you? You know what I'm saying? Do you walk on
totally
water?
Missing in.
Why, you know, they're claiming they think that their virtuousness is so much better than someone else. Mm-hmm. Another way it's defined is confident of one's righteousness, especially when smugly, moralistic, and intolerant of the opinions and the behaviors of others. It's smug. It's intolerant. They think that they're on the moral higher ground, as if they attained something on their own. And this is how evil the spirit is. How did you go from feeling so unworthy one day to 3 weeks later feeling, man, you are like a spiritual giant? You know what I'm saying? Look at those people. What is their problem? You know, you're reading the Bible and constantly going off on the Israelites. What was their problem? You know, what was their problem? They kept going around that mountain over and over again. And it's like, hello, that's us. How many times has God had to spoken to you about a particular issue in your life or something that's going on that God has repeatedly showed you through circumstances, through people speaking into your life, through the trials that you've been through? Hello, this is an issue. This is highlighted. And it's the same thing. Here you are again dealing with the same issue. But when you read the Bible, it's those Israelites or those Pharisees. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that looking down on others. That's the whole thing. It's self-righteousness. That's what the Pharisees were constantly doing, looking down at others, causing them to be judgmental, critical, fault-finding, and at the same way, in a sick way, raising themselves up in their own eyes by judging of the faults of others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we should never get any kind of self-worth or any kind of joy or any comfortability in where we think we are in God mm-hmm. by measuring ourselves against those in the kingdom or people who are not even saved by their sin. And isn't it twisted?
It's very twisted because you think about what Paul said. He goes, think of what you were before you were called. Mm-hmm. You know, you were nothing. You were the weakest, the least, and the lowliest. It's like, you know, what happened to you? You know, it was all because he didn't want us to be boasting about ourselves because we're nothing without him.
Yeah. Well, why is it that we forget that? Why is it that, well, at least maybe just me. Not,
just get pride.
No?
Just pride.
It is up. Yeah.
You know, thinking about what you're saying too, John, and I can't find the specific scripture, but you know, the word talks about that. It's just like, don't think of yourself better than others. You know, always lift others up. And that's the thing. It's just like, that's the whole thing of humility versus pride.
Yeah, it's so important because the whole idea here is that our righteousness only comes in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that we can stand before God. And if we're looking at other people and judging them and being critical, then we're having a false confidence. It's not founded in the Lord. It's not founded on the finished work on the cross. It's not founded in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's founded in your own arm of the flesh. You trying to do the right thing with God, and in reality, you're doing nothing but furthering yourself from God. Let me tell you, you can be free from a religious spirit. God has called us to be set free. He set us free. We just got to walk in that deliverance. More when we continue this conversation in the next program. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.